You have your Bible, turn to Exodus 1. And we'll start with verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt. This is Exodus 1, verse 8. Who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Behold, the people of the son of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply, and in the event of war they will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor, and they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously. Easy for you to say. And they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks, and at all kinds of labor in the field, and all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, and the other was named Puah. And he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. And so the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Well, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can get to them." And so God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive." Let's pray. Father, as we begin to look at what you'd want us to say on this Mother's Day, Lord, that we understand that we preach just not to mothers today, but specifically we are focusing in on that. And Lord, we just ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind to believe and a heart to receive your word of truth today. Father, I realize my place as a pastor and as a minister and a preacher of truth. I accept that place, Lord. Help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child can understand, Father. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. When we look at Exodus chapter 1, we have a command from the king to say, you are to kill all the boys, all the Hebrew boys, you are to kill them, you are to abort them, you are to do away with them and destroy them. And the midwives did not do it. Why? Because they feared God. They feared God. And in chapter 2 of Exodus, if you have your Bible, can still stay with me. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to look at a mom who was on a mission. And so this morning, this Mother's Day's mission is moms on a mission. So look at your neighbor and say, moms on a mission. If you're a mother, you got to be on a mission. Because here's what was happening. There was a command that there was going to kill all the sons. And if you were a mom and you were a Hebrew and you had a boy, I guarantee you'd be on a mission. Right? Because we have we have something evil that's happening, and they're saying, "I want you to kill your sons." And and as a mom, you don't want that to happen. And so we have here in Exodus chapter 2, it says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months." And when it says that she saw that he was beautiful, this means that he wasn't just a beautiful baby, though I'm sure he was a beautiful baby. It means that he was beautiful in the eyes of God. Hebrews 11:23 tells us that by faith, Moses was born. He was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. This sense of by faith means that there is something we don't know how. Maybe his mom and dad received this revelation, but we believe that his parents knew that there was something special about this young man. I don't know if God maybe gave them some foresight and foreknowledge that he would be a coming king or some type of Savior for the people, but they knew in their heart that there was something special about this boy, so they hide him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. So he's growing, and she can't really hide him anymore, so she makes a little basket. And this basket is the same word that is back in Genesis when Noah built an ark. It's the same word that she built him a little ark. And so she builds a basket or an ark, and she fixes it up, makes it be able to float in water, and she's caring for it. And then she puts the baby among the reeds in the Nile. It would be a place where obviously in some moments that the Egyptians would come by and see. Occasionally, they wouldn't be constantly looking in the Nile. Of course, the edict was to throw the baby in the Nile, and there would be reeds there to muffle sound. There would be sounds from the nature that if the baby were to cry, maybe would muffle the sound. Also, though, she knew that there was a time when the women would come and they would bathe. And so there's a strategic moment that Moses' mother here is preparing her child for. She's placing among the Nile, but she's just not abandoning her baby. She has her daughter kind of watch from a distance. And verse 4 says, her sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens, walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid. And she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, so the sister's watching this from a distance, and she sees that her little brother has been found. And so the sister runs up to Pharaoh's daughter, and she says, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So here's the scene. Moses' mother, she's made a little basket for her baby boy. She's put him in the reeds of the Nile. Here comes Pharaoh's daughter coming down to bathe. She sees this basket and she notices that there's this baby boy. God has softened her heart to this boy. And so she sees this boy and she has pity on this boy. And his sister comes up and says, do you want me to go find a Hebrew woman to go and take care of him until he's weaned?" And she says, "Sure, go ahead." And so the daughter goes back, and guess who she goes and finds? So the Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother, verse 8. She's, "I know a lady that would take real good care of him." And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. I'll pay you to take care of this boy." She didn't know she was paying her to take care of her own son, but that's what she was doing. And so the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, when I read this story and I think about this, I think about this mother who loved her son so much that she was on a mission. She was not going to let her son die. And so there's going to be three missions that I want to challenge you as mothers, and not just mothers. This needs to be a challenge to anyone who has, it could be grandmothers. It needs to be fathers. It needs to be anyone who is caring for a child. Maybe it's an aunt, an uncle that's raising a child. Maybe not everybody has a mom. And so if you are a teacher or you influence children, whatever, you need to be on a mission. Look, Jeremy said, you need to be on a mission. We need to be on a mission. Here's our three missions. You ready? The first one is that we need mothers and everyone to be on a mission to protect. A mission to protect. We need to protect our children. And so Moses' mother, she fixed this basket. You think, what would cause a mom to make a basket, put her son in the basket, put it in the Nile, and have to distantly watch, just waiting and hoping that nothing would happen to it? What would cause such an act? And I think it has to be the amazing love of that mother. Because a mother, a godly mother, a mother who loves her children, they have this natural desire and instinct to what? Protect. And they want to protect their children at all costs. And we need to protect our kids. And so she knew that there was an edict from Pharaoh that went out and said, I want all the boys dead. She has a boy. And she says, not my boy. Not my son. I'll do whatever I need to do to make sure that my boy lives. We need some moms like that today. What do you think? We need some grandmamas like that today. Because you see, there's still Pharaohs out there. You need to identify the Pharaohs in your life. There are Pharaohs who want to destroy the lives of your children. Are you aware of that? There are Pharaohs out there every day that puts a death sentence out on your children. The Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Do you not realize that he wants to destroy your children? My children, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need some mamas to rise up and say, not my son, not my daughter. I will do whatever I need to do to protect my kids from the enemy. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we need to be on a mission to protect. You see, there's bad influences out there that wants to destroy your children. Drugs and sex and this culture wants to destroy your children. In 2010, there was an estimated 22.6 million Americans over the age of 12 that were current or former illicit drug users within the last month when this particular survey was given. This equates to about 8.9% of the population back in 2010 aged 12 or older. Since 1990, this study was done in 2010, but since 1990 and 2010, the number of individuals who take prescription drugs illegally is believed to have risen by 500%. Now, just so that we all don't live like an ostrich with our head in the sand, we've got to realize that there is a real enemy out there, and that the enemy will come to our children as young as 12, if not younger. And there is evil out there. And there are bad influences out there. And so, mamas, what are you going to do? You've got to make a determination that I'm going to protect my children. So that means they might not get to watch some of the stuff that everybody else is watching. They might not be able to listen to everything else that everybody else is listening to. They might not be able to go where everybody else is going. There are some parties you don't need to go, son. There are some parties that you don't need to go, daughter. Why? Because I've made my ark and I'm protecting you, and I'm not going to let the devil come and snatch you and kill you. Well, I want to give my kids freedom. I don't want to invade their privacy. I want to respect who they are. I'm not going to get on their Facebook and look. I'm not going to go through their rooms and look. I'm not going to do this. You better. Until they buy the house, they live under your rules. You the mama, not them. It's your rules, not their rules. They say, well, that's not right. You shouldn't be looking at my phone. Well, then you don't get a phone. It's as simple as that. You want a phone? It's my phone. I'll pay for it. Right? You better be watching, and kids, chill out. Get over it. Your parents love you. If you have a godly mother, a godly father, if you have godly parents in your life, they're going to do everything they can to protect you. They don't want harm to come your way. Why is my mom or why is my dad acting like this? Because they love you. Because they want to protect you. Because they know there's an enemy out there that's trying to kill you. And they're going to do whatever they can do to make sure that you're safe. You see, Mom and Dad, they know some stuff. I know, you know, I know I'm living in the glory years right now. I know that, kid, you know, 5 and 9, I know that's great, great parenting time. You know, I know where they are, and I still, it's all I got to do. But I know when they get, you know, 15, 16, they get so smart, they'll be smarter than me. I know that. Some of you teenagers out there, 15, 16, 17 years old, let me help you. You're not smarter than your parents. Okay? If you have a protective mother and father, you thank God for that. Amen. Because they love you. There's an enemy, he doesn't love you. He'll use people. Some of your friends, you don't need to be hanging out with them on a weekend. Well, we're supposed to love everybody. Love them on Sunday. Say, hey, come Sunday. Don't be partying with them on Friday and Saturday. It's dangerous ground. Be friendly, but you don't have to be best friends with somebody. You in a party, there's drugs there, there's alcohol there, you need to get out of there. You don't need to be around that stuff. Mamas know that. Daddas know that. Mamas, daddas, guess what? We got to be protecting not only our kids, but everybody's kids in this place. So that means our house becomes a house of safety. It becomes an ark where children can come into it. And we don't allow anything in our houses that could destroy somebody else. You see, I'm not impressed with these cool moms and these cool dads, you know, sitting there, you know, trying to be the cool one. So all the teenagers can like them. Come over to my house and we'll let you drink and party and have fun. I'd rather them be at my house than on the road somewhere. Oh, that burns me up. After I graduated high school, there was a mom that had that same kind of attitude. And she was going to open up her house to everybody go there and get drunk. A boy died that night over alcohol poisoning. It's not a game. It's not fun, and it's not cute, and you're not cool. What's cool is protecting people and pointing them to Jesus and so that they may have life and they may have a future. There's no future in death stuff. There's only future in life stuff. So mamas, you got to be what? Protecting your children. Grandmamas, protecting your children. Daddies, protecting your children. Aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, neighbors, everyone who loves Jesus, we are protecting our children. Not only do we need to be a mission to protect, but we need to be on a mission to pray. Look at your name and say, be on a mission to pray. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul had a young man that he had influenced in his life, and Timothy was a pastor. And he writes this letter to Timothy, and he highlights two women that had an impact in Timothy's life. And I think this will be encouraging to some of you, or I hope so. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we are starting with verse 5. He says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your" who? Your grandmama. "It first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother" who? "Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." He says, "Timothy, I know that there is a sincere faith in you that was put in there by your grandmama and your mama. They knew Jesus, they loved Jesus, and they taught you about him, and you have learned from them." And go over just another chapter to chapter 3 in that same book, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "You, however," he's admonishing him, "you, however, continue the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Look at verse 15. "And that from" when? "Childhood, you have known the sacred writings which were able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in" who? "Christ Jesus," or the Lord Jesus. He says, Timothy, you had some influences in your life, and some of you are here today because you've had some influences in your life, and some of those have been your grandmama and your mama. And so this Mother's Day, make sure you say Happy Mother's Day, amen. Some of you, it might have been an aunt, it might have been an uncle, it might have been a friend, it might have been a neighbor, it might have been it might have been your stepmom or your stepdad. It could have been, somebody's had an influence. You're here today because somebody's had an influence. And you know what? There are some things in life that you just have to go, and you just have to go to the Lord in prayer in, and you need to bathe people with prayer. We need some praying mamas today. This nation needs moms that are on their knees crying out for the salvation of their children. You better be praying for them now. You better be praying for their life. Pray protection over them. Pray life over them. Pray the Holy Spirit into their life. Pray that He would speak to them one day. Pray that one day that your child or that your grandchild, that they would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray that they would come to know Christ, because one day as they get older, they're going to have to realize one thing. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. And so our prayer, moms, your prayer needs to be this. Lord Jesus, when my son, when my daughter, when they get to the age where they understand what it means to be sinful, that they will realize that they have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and that Jesus is King of all, and they will run to Him and run straight into His arms of grace and be forgiven forevermore. That's a happy day. You got to be praying for the salvation of your kids. Grandparents, praying for the salvation of your kids. There is a spiritual battle out there. Satan does not want our children saved. He doesn't want them to know God. And Pharaoh is out there killing. He is destroying. He's seeking all these things. And we have to have protecting mamas and praying mamas. Let me ask you, how are you praying for your children? I can't help but know, though the text doesn't say, but Eunice and Lois, not only did they instill the Word of God into them, but I'm guaranteed they were praying for them. What do you think? You think that's a pretty good assumption there, that they were praying for young Timothy? We've got to be praying for our kids. And the third mission we need to be on is we need to be on a mission to prepare them. We need to teach them and instill in them the truth of God's Word. Look at 1 Timothy again in chapter 3, verse 15. He says, and that from childhood you have known what? The what? The sacred writings. What is that? That was their Word of God. That was all of the Word that they had at this time. Guess what the Word of God is to us at this time? This Bible that we hold in our hand. He says that you were taught the sacred writings that were able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation in Jesus Christ. We, mamas, listen, moms, mothers out there, you need to be instilling in your children the truth of God's Word. You need to teach them Jesus. You need to read the Bible to them. You need to instruct them. You need to be involved in their spiritual development. You need to teach them this Bible. They need to see you reading this Bible. They need to hear you telling them stories from this Bible. We have been blessed with so many children in this place. Mamas, we need to be teaching our children the things of God in His Word. We need to do it here as a church, but you also need to do it at home as well. My office ought to be flooded with moms saying, I want to get involved in that children's ministry. If you have a child, you ought to be involved somehow, some way in the children's ministry of this church, saying, you know what? I'm going to protect, pray, and prepare my children and the children around so that they can know Jesus. There should never, 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 not that we do, but that we there should never be shortages of people working in children's ministries in the churches of America. Never. Man, we have some great stuff instilling into the minds and hearts of your kids. We need some mamas and grandmamas saying, you know what? I'm going to pour into the children here at this church so that they may know the love of God. You want to disciple somebody? Disciple the children. You know Jesus? Make sure they know Jesus. Make sure they're growing up knowing what it means to be a woman of God, knowing what it means to love God, knowing what it means to have dignity, all these things. Instill in them the spiritual truths of God's word at a young age so that they, when they grow old, they will come to a salvation knowledge of Him and live for Him, not just in this life, but for all eternity. Instill in them some things that are of God, moral character. You know, you have a vested interest in not just your children, but every child in this church. Because when our kids get older and they start hanging out together, you know what kind of parents I want to partner with in this church? I don't want to partner with you if you don't have a household that's an ark. I don't want my children hanging out at your house if your house hasn't become a sanctuary for God. I want to partner with some parents who are like-minded, who say, in this house, we honor God and we serve Him and we worship Him and we don't let nothing come in this house that can destroy that. I want to partner with some of you because I know as Caleb gets older, he's going to be hanging out. And you know what? Some of the things that we do as father and son, I know this is coming and it breaks my heart so much that I'm not going to be cool one day. There's going to be a phase he's probably going to probably go through, and if me and him have the same kind of shirt on, he's not going to think that's cool anymore. And I want him around other young men who's going to want to love God. And how's that going to happen? Because you've helped raise your sons and your daughters to want to serve God and love God. We need to instill in them that in Christ Jesus they can be somebody, that they can be successful, that they can have a great life, that they can do wonderful things, that in Christ Jesus that they have all that they'll ever need. We need to teach them to work hard, to study, to be honest, to respect authority. What do you think? There's a lot of things that we're leaving out today that we as mom and dads need to instill. That you respect those who are older than you. That you work hard and study hard in school. And that you make your children. I want my children to be challenged in school. What about you? And if they bring home a bad grade, guess what? It's not always the teacher's fault. Yeah, can you believe that? Sometimes our kids don't study. How would you know that? I mean, would you ever think that your kid would never study? Sometimes your kid's not listening in school. And so what we do is we say, when you go to school, you're there to learn. You're there to learn and learn all that God wants you to learn so that you can be somebody in life, that you can be a blessing to other people. I want our children successful out of this church. What do you think? I want them being somebody. You know, here's the biggest problem that I think that we have as a culture. That I see the greatest flaw that I see my generation making as parents. And here it is. We try to instill in our children things that we didn't have, rather than instilling in them the things that God has. And so here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we have a tendency as parents to say this: well, when I was younger, I never got to do this or that. So I want to make sure that my kids can go do this and that, you know. When I was little, I never got, you know, just new stuff all the time. So I want to make sure that I give my kids all the new stuff that they can have. When I was growing up, when I was little, I never got to go on vacation. So I want to make sure that my kids always get to go on vacations. When I was growing up, my kids never got to play sports. And so I want to make sure that they get involved as much stuff as they possibly can. And when I was growing up, I never got to do this. And I want to make sure that my kids get to do that. And you know what we'll do? If we're not careful, you know what will happen? we will instill in them all the things that they want, but not necessarily the thing that they need. And I'm involved in sports, and I love sports and have been my whole life. But if the only thing that as a parent does is teach them how to throw a baseball or how to cheer or how to do a flip, and they're not investing in the children's spiritual development of that child, it's pointless and useless. We have got to be moms who love God's word so much that we are training our kids to love and serve and follow Him. And sure, if you can get them stuff, great, get them stuff. If they can be involved in activities, great, let them be involved in activities. But never let those things take priority over the spiritual development of your child. That's a bad mistake. That's a bad exchange. And one day when they get older, they might know what the latest fads are, and they might be dressing cool, and they might be popular, but they might not know Jesus. That's not a good exchange. What do you think? We need some moms, grandmas, aunts, uncles, cousins, dads, grandfathers, everybody. If teachers, we need to be seeing our children as this greatest mission field that we have right before our eyes. Because this world is trying to capture their mind and destroy it. And we are going to pour ourselves into raising up a generation that will stand strongly for Jesus and His word. Where are they going to learn it from? From you, Mom. From you, Grandma. They're going to see it through your life. If you never read your Bible through the week, guess what they're going to think? Wow, that's just something you carry with you on Sunday. That's a paperweight. That's all they're going to think. They need to see you living your faith out day by day. You need to be praying for them every single day. You need to be protecting, praying, and preparing every day the things of God in their life. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love us and that you have saved us. And God, I thank you for the mothers here. I thank you for the grandmothers here. I thank you for everyone that is here this morning, God. And I pray that all of us have heard your truth today. And Lord, that you would challenge us and convict us and raise us up to say, you know what? We're going to make sure that we're going to be on a mission to instill faith into the children, to our own children and to our children that's just in this church, that we want them to know Jesus. We want them to grow up to love Him and serve Him, and that they will be change agents in the future, and they will make a difference among their friends and the families. Father, Pharaohs are out there trying to destroy and kill. And by faith, we rise up and we say, no more. No more. Not in this house. Not in this church house will we let Pharaoh come in and destroy. We will protect. We will pray. We will prepare. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. You need to come. You need to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Whatever you need to do, do this morning. Mothers, you